The days. Are interesting days because they're days when we're suspended between the past and the future. They're days when a person stands on the crossroads between the old year, which is about to retire, whether gracefully or otherwise, and the new year, which is about to start. So a person has a sense of relief that the previous year is finishing, and a certain sense of anticipation that a new year is starting. We find a very interesting chiluk, find a very interesting difference, which is brought in the Shulchan Aruch between the minig of the Sfaradim and the minig of the Ashkenazim in reference to Slichas. The Machaber brings in Shulchan Aruch that noyagim lokum b'ashmeres habeikah, that the minhag is to get up b'ashmeres habeikah. Ashmeres habeikah means the last third of the night. The inyan of slichas is to say it by night. Even those who say slichas in the morning, say it early in the morning, they say it within the third period of the night, in other words, the final period of the night, which is B'sviveis Aleis HaShachar. Noagim lokum v'ashmeres habeikah leim eslichas v'tachnunim mirish chodesh ve'eleich ad yom ha-kippurim. From Rish Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. In other words, 40 days. The minig Sfard, which is the minig of the Mechaber, is to say Slichas every day, 40 days from Rish Chodesh Elul until Yom HaKippurim. The Ramo comments on that psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, minig b'nei Ashkenaz einokein, that this is not the minig of the b'nei Ashkenaz. The Ramo says the minig of the B'nai Ashkenaz is Oimdim Ba'ashmeiris. Again, Oimdim Ba'ashmeiris. One stands the final part of the night. Leimar Slichas B'yoim Aleph Shelifnei Rosh Hashanah. That you always start Slichas on the first day of the week, meaning the Motzi Shabbos, prior to Rosh Hashanah. However, says the Ramo, Ve'im Rosh Hashanah b'yein bei sevi yigimu, but if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Monday or on a Tuesday, which means that if you start on the previous Motzi Shabbos, you're not going to have four clear days of Amiras Slichas, then maschilin yeim aleph shavua shelafonov, then you start on the previous Sunday, which gives you the maximum amount of Slichas. The maximum amount of days of Slichas is always when Yom Kippur works out when Rosh Hashanah works out to be either on a Monday or a Tuesday. Because if Rosh Hashanah works out to be on a Monday and a Tuesday, if you started the previous Motzi Shabbos, you wouldn't have four clear days, therefore you start a week earlier. This whole meaning of Slichas has no makor in Gemara. The makor for Slichas is a later makor, it's post Gemara. And the chiluk, the difference between the minig of the Sfaradim and the minig of the Ashkenazim, must be based on some sort of rationale. There must be some sort of svara going on here as to what they're arguing about. And it's possible that the argument revolves around the following hypothesis, and that is that Minig Sfard maintains that before a person can be Zeicha in any of the opportunities which may be available to him in the new year, he's first got to place in some sort of reasonable order, or he's got to remove somehow the mess of the previous year, of the outgoing year. The new year is not automatically going to be better than the previous year if one doesn't rectify the previous year. It doesn't improve by itself. The year doesn't get better. The new year doesn't get better than the old year of its own accord. It only gets better if the individual improves it. We can't look at the ongoing flow of time as being something disjointed. It's not that in a person's lifetime, every single year is a separate entity unto itself, which has no connection with the previous year and has no connection with the following year. The Pasuk says, Shlomo HaMelech says, that the life of a person is writing a book, that every period of time in the life of a person is another chapter in a book. A book has to have a flow. A book has to have a continuity. Each chapter has to follow the previous chapter and has to be an introduction to the next chapter. If you have a book which each chapter is a story in itself, then it's just a collection of short stories, it's not a novel. The definition of a novel is that there's continuity. Life is like a novel. There's a continuum. And therefore, you can't imagine for one moment that at the end of a year and a new year starting, that it automatically starts on a fresh note or automatically starts as a better year without the person doing something about it. Therefore, the answer is that a person has to say slichus for a lengthy period of time at the end of the previous year in order to rectify the previous year based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Amud Beis that Shleishim Yom Bashana Chashuvim Shana, that in Halacha 30 days within a year gets the definition of a complete year. If the year has to be better, then if a person will devote himself 30 days of tshuva, maisim tovim, and of saying slichas, then the entirety of the year can be rectified. If a person devotes himself for 30 days in a concentrated manner, in a meaningful manner, to the correct orientation, to the correct way of behaving, then that solid month elevates the quality of the entire year. We can't leave, says the Mechaber, the previous year as a year of Chorban, as a year of debris. You have to do something in order to rectify the previous year. And the 30 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur give an opportunity that the old year can, as it were, depart in some sort of blaze of glory if one takes the 30 days, the final 30 days of the year, and uses them in order to rectify the entire year. And then comes the Ramah, and the Ramah says, I don't know whether that's possible. I don't know whether it's possible within 30 days to change the whole tune of an entire year. you can't view, says the Rama, the actions that a person did through the entirety of a year like some sort of classroom blackboard that you can just get up and erase what's written on it within 30 days. Every time a person does something that he's not meant to do, whatever it may be, it's a scar, it's a mum. It's not something which you can just turn around and you can just erase. Therefore, says the Rama, the solution has to be different. Therefore, says the Rama, the solution has to be that we can't change the year. The year that went by is a year that went by, and the year that went by won't change. The year that went by stays the way it was. Says the Rama, but if we want to change something, the only thing we can change is ourselves. We can change ourselves. In other words, the record can stand, but we have to change the recorder. We have to change the guy who's recording it. So therefore, one doesn't direct one's efforts towards the achievements of the year, of the previous year, or the non-achievements of the previous year. One doesn't relate bichlal to the previous year. One has to relate rather to the person. And therefore, says the Rama, if we're relating to the person, if we're going to change the person, if the whole point of the Yemei Aslichas is that the person should change, then 4 days suffices. Because we find Legabe Korbonus that if you want to bring a korban, you have to examine the animal to see whether the animal has a mum, to see whether the animal has a blemish or not. And the time period that's given in order to examine a mum and a korban, the minimum time period is Dalad Yomim, is 4 days. And therefore, says the Rama, they will masaken a minimum of 4 days for slichas, and that's the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin, the Ikar Minig is 4 days. It's just that in certain situations, when Rosh Hashanah falls on certain days, then you're not going to have 4 complete days. Therefore, in such situations, what they were mechayev, what they obligated to us, was to start earlier. But the essence is 4 days, because 4 days is enough of a period of time in which a person can change himself. Well, how do you one expect a person to change themselves in a period of 4 days? What can a person change in a period of 4 days? There's a very interesting essay from Rav Dessler in the third volume of Michtav Meliyahu. And in this essay, which is a very lengthy essay, which he calls Mochemes HaYetzer, the battle against the Yetzer Hara, he discusses what he sees to be the 3 methods that the Yetzer Hara uses in order to induce a person to do an Avera. And in the middle of this essay, he says a tremendous chiddush. But even though it's a tremendous chiddush, he brings a raya barura from the Gemara that it's emes, and the raya is such a good raya that there's no way you can shlug up the raya, and it's taka emes lamitai. It's 100% correct, but it's a chiddush otzum. And he says the following. He says that the ikka method that the Yetzer Hara uses in order to create a situation that a person should do an Aveira is habit. All that the Yetzer Hara has to do is one initial battle in order to convince a person to do one particular act. The psychology of a person is that once he's done something, it loses its chashivas by him. Sometimes a person doesn't want to make the step to do an Aveira because he understands the severity of the Aveira, and he doesn't want to take that final step to do the Aveira. But once he's taken that final step to do the Aveira, and he's done it, to do it a second time is already much easier. And once he's done it a second time, to do it a third time is even easier. And once he's done it a third time, say Chazal, that Ovar Vashona, once a person has done an Aveira a few times, Nasalei Keheta, becomes a habit. And once something becomes a habit, habits are very difficult to break. Hergel is very difficult to break because a person gets himself into a habit, he gets himself into a certain style, he's accustomed to act in a certain way, and he finds it impossible to break out of that. And here, if Sedesla says a chiddush neira, he says this has nothing at all to do with Yetzer Hara. All that the Yetzer Hara has to do is the initial first time convincing the person to do the Aveira. After that, the job of the Yetzer Hara is finished. Because the first time leads to a second time, and a second time leads to a third time, and a third time becomes a habit. And once a person has a habit of doing something, it's irrelevant that there's the Yetzer Hara involved. The Yetzer Hara has no control over it anymore. Therefore, says Rav Dessler, if a person has a habit of doing Aveiras, the habit has absolutely nothing to do with the Yetzer Hara, because even if there wouldn't be a Yetzer Hara anymore, he would still continue with the habit. And he doesn't have the justification, says Rav Dessler, to turn around and to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyachol, what do you want from me? I was nichna to my Yetzer Hara because it has nothing at all to do with the Yetzer Hara. Rav Dessler says that the moshul for this is the car that's traveling at a high speed on a highway, and you cut the engine. He says, the car's traveling at a high speed on the highway and you cut the engine, it will continue in motion. By inertia, it will continue to move. There's no engine anymore, so why is it moving? Because the wheels will move even after the engine has stopped. Hergel is so powerful that even if the initial engine that started it off, the Yetzer Hara, doesn't exist anymore, the person will keep on doing it, the wheels will still keep rolling. Says Rav Dessler, how do we know this? Says Rav Dessler, it's a Mefurish Gemara. And he brings a raya from a Gemara, and the Gemara is a Dovah Niflo. The Gemara says the following. It's a Gemara in Sukkah and Dafnun Aleph on the base, and it carries on over Dafnun Base on the Aleph. And the Gemara in Sukkah says the following. That on Mitzoy Yom Tov of Sukkah, the minig was in the Beis HaMikdosh to make a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva that we have today is Lezeicha, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that there was in the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Gemara says, based on a Mishnah, B'meitzoi Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, on Matzoi Yom Tov, first Motzi Yom Tov of Sukkot, Motzi Yom Tov, the first day of Sukkot, Yodu Le'ezras Noshim, the Kohanim used to enter the Ezras Noshim of the Azorah, Umesaknim Shom Tikkun Gadol, and they used to make a Tikkun Gadol there. They used to make a Tikkun which Chazal referred to as being a Tikkun Gadol. What was this Tikkun that they did there? My Tikkun Gadol, says the Gemara, what was this great Tikkun? So the Gemara says that they used to build a gallery there. And they built this gallery, says the Gemara, v'iskinu sheyu noshim yeshvis milamailo v'anoshim milamato. That the women should sit up on the gallery and the men would be below in the Ezra's Noshim. Says the Gemara, this wasn't always the case. This was a tikkun gadol that was made at a certain point in history. Barishaino. Originally, says the Gemara, you Noshim mibifnim. The women sat in the Ezra's Noshim. V'anoshim bachutz. And the men were in the Rechov of Harabayat and in the Chayil. But the result was v'hayuboyim lidei kalus roish. It ended up with the men and the women intermingling, which created a kalus roish. Therefore, iskinu, they made a takona sheyunoshim yoshvitz bachutz v'anoshim mibifnim. So they said, okay, we'll put the women outside and we'll put the men inside. Says the Gemara v'adayin hayuboyim lidei kalus roish. And it still didn't solve the problem. Therefore, Hiskinu sheyu noshim yeshvis v'lemailo v'yanoshim v'lemato. Says the Gemara, how could they do this? What right did they do this? There's a halacha that the Beis HaMikdash can only be built as per the instruction of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who gave very clear instructions as to how the Beis HaMikdash should look. You can't just go and make alterations on your own accord. So what right, says the Gemara, did the Kohenim have to start building galleries in the Ezra's Noshim? Who gave them that heter? And what's that heter based? Says the Gemara, that Rav said it wasn't a problem. Why kro ashkechu v'dorush? They had a makor for this. It's a mefurish of pasuk. That you are allowed to do this. Says the Gemara, where is the pasuk? Says the Gemara, the pasuk is in Nevuah of Zechariah. It's in Perek Yud Beis of Zechariah. The Novi Zechariah says over a prophecy. He says over a Nevuah as to what's going to happen in the future. What does the prophet Zechariah say? He says the following. There is going to be a time when the entire Klal Yisrael will gather together in the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason why they're going to gather together in the Beis HaMikdash as Zechariah is because there's going to be a tremendous hesped. They're going to come there for a hesped. Somebody has died and they're making a hesped. And if all the men and all the women, the entirety of Klal Yisrael, says Zechariah Novi, are going to come to hear this hesped. And if you look in the psukim there, says Rav, you will see that it says in the psukim there that the women will sit on the gallery and the men will sit below. Says Rav, where's the gallery? There is no gallery. There's no gallery in the Ezra's Noshim. So how can the Novi Zechariah say that they'll sit, the women in the gallery and the men below? Says Rav, Elamai, you see that if you are building a gallery as a tikkun gadol in order that there shouldn't be taruvahs of noshim v'an noshim, it's muta. So on the basis of that, they were mesaken that by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Kohenim should build a gallery in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, whose hesped is Zechariah HaNovi talking about? What's this big hesped that somebody died and there's going to be a huge hesped in the Beis HaMikdash? And everybody's going to come to hear this hesped. Who died that they're eulogizing there? Says the Gemara. You want to know whose hesped it is? La'osid lovoi kishakodish bochu yishchat esayet zahara. It's going to be a hesped on the Yetzirah. Because La'osid Lovoi, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is going to shech the Yetzirah. He's going to kill the Yetzirah. Klal Yisrael will return to the Darga of Adam Arishon Kedem Achet, where there was no Yetzirah. Says Rav Dessler, 1 minute. This hesped is what? It's a hesped after the death of the Yetzirah. So there's no Yetzirah anymore. If there's no Yetzirah anymore, so why do the women have to sit up on top and the men have to sit down below? Why? There's no Yetzirah, so who cares if there's Taruvas Noshim Be'an Noshim? Says Rav Dessler, so what do we see from here?
But once a person has got himself into a habit, once there's a habit of Aveira ben Anoshim ben Anoshim, it has nothing at all to do with Yetzer Hara anymore. It's just inertia. It just carries on of its own accord. Says Rav Dessler, you don't believe me? Says Rav Dessler, I'll bring you another ayah. He says, what's the other ayah? He says, the Mefurish Gemara. Man was created naked. Why was he created naked? Because he had no Yetzer Hara. If he had no Yetzer Hara, it doesn't matter if there were naked men, naked women wandering around. When did the whole concept of clothing start, says Rav Dessler? The whole concept of clothing started only after the chet of Adam Rishon. The pasuk says, "Vayushneim arumim Adam v'ishtei v'lo yizbayishu." There was no concept of busha because they were anoshim ruchniim. Once they were over and they ate from the Eitz Hadas, and there was a concept of Yetzer Hara, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam had to give them clothing. Says Rav Dessler, what's going to happen according to the Gemara that we just read when Mashiach comes? Lasid Lavoi, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be Sheikh of the Yetzer Hara, and there's not going to be any Yetzer Hara anymore. If there's not going to be any Yetzer Hara anymore, then lechura there should be no need for clothing. Says Rav Dessler, they said Mefurish Chazal. What did Chazal say? B'tchias ha-meisim yakumu ha-meisim b'mal b'sheihem. That by tchias ha-meisim, the meisim will get up clothed. Why do they have to get up clothed? They have to get up unclothed. They're back to the dagger of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. What do they need clothing for? Says Rav Dessler, because it's got nothing to do with Yetzer Hara. It's habit. And once a person finds himself in a particular habit, it has nothing to do with Yetzer Hara. It's just a rut that a person is in, and it's impossible for him to break out of the rut. Therefore, says Rav Dessler, when the Yom HaDin comes, when a person is Eimed B'Din before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam starts rolling the film, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, why did you do this? And he says, why did I do this? Because I did it every day. I always did it. Why did you do it every day? Because the Yetzer Hara forced me to do it every day. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, no, it's not a teretz. It's nothing to do with the Yetzer Hara. If it was to do with the Yetzer Hara, Mela, then maybe we'd let you off. But this has nothing to do with the Yetzer Hara. This is just a habit. And a habit you can break. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael, I don't expect that you should overnight become tzaddikim. I don't expect that overnight you should break all your habits. Habits are addictive. And we all know that it doesn't matter how much the seichel understands that the habit is going to kill you, like smoking, you still carry on smoking, even though you've been smoking 50 years, and you know it's going to kill you at the end of the day. Because that's the metzius of a person. It's nothing to do with Yetzer Hara. It's just simply habit. That's all. That's what I do. When I open a Gemara, I light a cigarette. And you convince yourself that it helps you think. Or, alternatively, the reason why most of you guys smoke, right? Because there's nothing else to do. Most people smoke according to statistics because of dead moments. So if a guy's got 24 hours, 7 days a week of dead moments, he smokes non-stop. Because what else should he do? Right? But you guys, there's also another element as well. It proves that you're actually alive. Because anybody looking at you would say that you're dead. It's only because they see the motions of the lighting up of a cigarette that that actually proves that the object in front of them has some life in it. Because there is nothing else that you guys do which proves in any way at all that life exists within that body of yours. But it's habit. That's all it is. It's a habit. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't expect you to be able to break habits, but I do expect one thing, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. One thing, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I expect. 4 days. 4 days, that's all I'm asking. He says, 4 days change your habit. 4 days. 4 days. You have a habit not to get up before 3 in the afternoon? It's a habit. So break it and get up 8 o'clock for sleepers. 4 days, not more. Says Rabbani Shalom, if you can change your habits for 4 days, if your habit is, if your minhag is, that you never step foot in a Beis HaMedrash, because you've got such a minhag, that you don't step in a, you don't step foot in a Beis HaMedrash. Says Rabbani Shalom, okay, I've given you 4 days now. During these 4 days, change the habit. If a person comes with a tiny to the Rabbani Shalom, you can't expect me to change because I have it. Minhag of Beis HaMedrash. I spend 24 hours, 7, in front of a green, glassy-eyed, looking at virtual figures, doing virtual things that I wish I could do. Says Rabbani Shalom, fine. Carry on, retard. We don't expect you to become somebody else. All I expect you is 4 days. Give me 4 days when you can show me that it's not an addictive habit. It's a habit that can be broken. The place can write, I've always wondered about this, the place can write from Mata Fry and others. There are kimat no poskim today who are of the opinion that it's mutter to smoke on Yom Tov. Right? Until about 30 years ago, there were many, many poskim who were matter. Today, kimat, it's very difficult to find a posek. In fact, today, there is no posek who's matter at all. There was, until 10 years ago, one posek in Yerushalayim who was still matter. Right? He was nifta. Yankee Fisher was nifta. Today there isn't. There doesn't exist anywhere in the world a pesach of any credibility whatsoever will be matir to smoke on Yom Tov today because of the information that we have about smoking today. The whole heta of smoking in Yom Tov of Eichel Nefesh was based on the assumption, and the Chasam Sefer's tshuva, on the assumption that smoking is healthy, which was an assumption that was made at a certain point in time. Now, today that we know that that's not true, the opposite is true, maybe the heta falls away, maybe there is no heta. Oh, but naniach, that you're going to follow those who are matir. Says the Matir Ephraim, even if you normally smoke, on Rosh Hashanah one shouldn't smoke. So all sorts of different hesberim, why you shouldn't smoke. The guy who's standing in court in front of the judge doesn't smoke. Because if he does, not only does he get slammed by the judge for the crime that he did, but he gets another 15 years for contempt of court. So Mimela on Rosh Hashanah, where it's 2 days, where we're whole time constantly standing in front of the judge, if you smoke, he's going to hit you with contempt, so it's not worth it. That's what a lot of Hezbollahs say. I think the Pshat is very different. The Pshat is, again, the Rebbe Shlomo says, I don't expect you to change overnight, but just show me that 2 days you can break a habit. If you can break a habit for 2 days, there's hope. If you can't break the habit for 2 days, there's no hope for you. If a guy can break habits for 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, says the Rabbani Shalom, then there's hope. If you can't break a habit for 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, then says the Rabbani Shalom, don't bother turning up Rosh Hashanah, you're wasting your time.